Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment. You can listen to The Mike O'Mara Show at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Well, what have we here?
It's a podcast.
Fine.
And what excitement we have today.
It's The Mike O'Mara Show with Mike O'Mara and Rob Spiewak. Now, here's Mike.
You've been a very good audience. A very, very good audience. You've sold out our little ornaments. It's the last one. I don't. There are no more around. So deal with that. And boy, that's loud. Thank you. Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Mike O'Mara Show. You've also sold out our cookbooks. So really, thank you. That's it. We can kind of relax and say thank you to everybody for really being good to us this holiday season. And we appreciate you, clearing out our warehouses. We're very, very thrilled at that.
We'd probably have a couple cookbooks left, but people left them on the boat.
You mean a person left them on the boat?
I don't know who. I'm not going to.
I was thinking about that this morning, Rob. I know I left some cookbooks on the boat, and I was going to bring them up to my family in New England
for the
holidays. But I didn't get a chance to,
You have to have room. Save room in your luggage for your sweaters.
Am I coming to you? Yes.
I like to think that instead of them just tossing them out, we have a new listener that found the bag.
That would be wonderful.
That the 5:30 seating, they're going to start serving things from our cookbook instead of the great prime rib.
Well,
it would help.
Lord knows they get a little leg up.
And, Mike, I actually wanted to mention this to you in the pre-show, but the cookbook reminds me. I made a tragic decision this weekend, and I want people to know that I don't take it lightly, and I consulted other people. No fruitcakes this year. Sorry, guys.
Oh, wow.
Just no time, no
money.
There
you go, being easy on yourself again.
You know, Christmas
and I know,
is
Mike,
always
you always really
time. Well,
Mike likes to struggle at Christmas time by finding the fruitcakes. So that's how he works. But
now don't get tested.
No, I've got a suggestion. Christmas is always hectic anyway.
Right.
What if you start doing fruitcakes in June?
June cakes.
Well, maybe you do a little Christmas in July.
Look at how defensive he got, like, right away. He's feeling really guilty. That's why he volunteered it. Don't feel guilty. What are you feeling guilty about?
There's no guilt. Well, I know what he's feeling guilty for.
Why?
He bought that giant mixer.
Well, no, that's not
I'm sure Carrie's happy about that.
Well, actually, it was a gift from Kathy, and I spoke to her about it. And she says, don't you dare make fruitcakes this year. There's too much to do. And I actually thought about maybe doing them between Christmas and New Year's, and that might ruin it. I don't know. But it'll be the first time in 15 years I haven't done it. And I just
Does that make you sad?
It does a little bit, but I don't think it's practical.
Now, when you're flying out of Miami today, right?
Yes, I have a 10 o'clock flight, so let's hurry. Not really, I'm kidding. No.
When you get back to Virginia, do you think when you're cooling your heels tomorrow after the show, you will be maybe get the bug a little bit, or and I'm not talking about for us, but for like family members or something like that. I mean, I've always thought that it's been a part of kind of the show for so long. I always wonder, you do it with your mom, and that's kind of the joy of the family thing. But in the family, are there? Do you get nearly the kind of rave reviews that you've gotten for a decade on the show?
Not so much anymore because a lot of the siblings have died. A couple of them this year, so there's that saves a lot.
Your siblings?
No, Mike, I have none siblings. I have step siblings, but my mom's siblings.
Do you still like fruitcake?
I love it. Oh my God, I love it. Yeah. But I mean, I'll even eat a crappy Claxton fruitcake. I just know that my fruitcake is next level stuff.
What's Claxton? That sounds like it should be a tool set.
That's the bricks.
That's the bricks that you see in like hardware stores. But I am one of their top fans on Facebook.
You know, Rob, I think I've got a solution for you.
Oh, this will be good.
Well, the recipe is in the TMOS cookbook.
Right.
And for years, you've made fruitcakes for other people.
I think
it's time for someone to ship you a fruitcake.
I could not agree more.
I think this is a great idea.
No, and it's also, and the recipe's never been revealed. So if you've got the cookbook, you can make it for your own family. And I think that's a very cool thing to do for Christmas time. You know, that's wonderful. But obviously you're feeling a little bit guilty. You shouldn't. You've had to be down there with your dad. And, how many days have you spent at his place?
Oh, God, this has been an additional week. And you know, Mike, there's really only 10 days.
Don't be guilty about the fruitcakes. Be guilty about screwing up the show every day.
I would say that my record on screwing up the show is probably less than 40% of the time. We've gotten better at it. And the
you had one glitchy week, and then we've straightened everything out.
But when you get back, do you have to put up the tree and the decorations and all that?
Now, here's what's wild. Someone who is a foot dragger on all Christmas decoration stuff, while Carrie was on the cruise and I was on the cruise, Robert put up and decorated our Christmas tree.
Without you guys knowing?
Without us knowing, and Carrie came home to a fully decorated tree.
Did he have a hot day coming over?
Yeah, I don't think that's the case. But
does that mean you let him live in the house for another 6 months?
At least until birthday season.
All right, very good. Good for him. But, that's wonderful. Yeah.
But with the buying of the fruit and the shipping and everything, and I don't like them to get there.
Can I ask you a question? Did you really think that you were going to get your balls busted because you really reacted defensively, and I was just saying it to say I was
defensive. Well, no, and that's not true.
What?
That you would you like getting your three fruitcakes every year.
Are you serious? Do you think me that shallow that I would be unaware as someone who has dealt with illness in my family where I've had to go back and forth on a jet? I had they knew me on U.S. Airways back when that airline was chugging and my father was sick. I understand
arrest.
More than anybody.
Okay, I feel you.
Doesn't fit into your narrative, but I really feel as though, I like it? Yeah, I think it's spectacular. When I really care about it is when I'm walking to the refrigerator. I don't worry about the fact that it's not. No, I wouldn't.
Okay.
Why would I do it? God, I am some kind of monster or something?
I'm not trying to peg you as a monster. Yes, I'm trying to peg you as a fruitcake enthusiast. And when I think about the people that I would let down when I didn't do this, you are among them
you like to read my mind. Read my mind, right? What do you think I'm thinking right now in it regards fruitcake? What do you think I'm thinking?
I know what you're thinking.
What are you thinking? What do you think? Josh has gotten great at it, but what do you think?
Oh, he's thinking 10 days.
10 days left for Christmas shopping. 10 days left to fill the stock.
Hi there.
10 days, Mike.
Hi there.
Hi there.
Hi, did you hear what the man said? Only 10 more shopping days till Christmas.
God, I can't believe
that
it.
That was really a weak one.
I can't believe it.
Yeah,
you were just setting up the tape. Is that what you were doing? Yeah.
What you're thinking, Mike, is that you don't miss it as much now that you are living a certain new way of eating.
No,
and
that's not correct. Nope.
Okay.
I think... it's that you're in Florida and nobody cares about Christmas.
I think that you're both wrong. And I think as soon as somebody – here's the last hint you'll get. It was just brought up on this show. I'm thinking of making it.
Oh, that would be so cool.
And I think you can make – if you're making like four or two,
A single batch will make you 8 loaves, I believe.
Eight loaves?
Eight one-pound loaves. Or
I'm thinking when next week when I'm, just hanging around, I'm not going to be playing golf or anything. I'll be up in the Great White North. And what a cool way to test out the – we put a new stove in there that I have not yet seen. So I'm excited about that.
Do you have enough coal for it?
We got plenty of firewood.
The only thing that might be a stumbling block – but I'm sure Hannaford, I have your candid.
Hannaford's a major, major grocery store.
Love Hannaford. So, yeah, I would love to see other people make fruitcake.
I would like to see, we set a date like January 4th, and everyone has to mail their fruitcakes to Rob by January
4th. Oh, no. You're,
who can reproduce it the best?
No. See, you're a worker bee. You're a worker bee. You don't know the two guys you're dealing with here. Yes, Rob.
He wants to do it on the 4th.
I'm not putting this on you.
So it could be clear by the 6th.
Are you talking about listeners?
I'm saying listeners.
No. Didn't you once do a contest where the listeners had to mail you meat?
That was a bit. But do you remember? Let's see how Rob's history of the show. Do you remember when we get stuff from listeners' food?
Yeah.
Who wasn't I the most paranoid about it?
Always. Yeah.
I don't want to get food.
I agree.
Yeah.
But I think Rob's the least paranoid.
Yeah, so he'd eat. Rob, he'll eat it. He'll eat anything.
Anything. You know? I got corn off the cob mailed to me, and I.
Rob, it wasn't off the cob.
What?
Yeah.
Rob, you did come into this with an apology. Like if Mike did not get your fruitcake, he would have the shakes or something.
No.
Christmas.
I don't mean that.
What he said to you when he was trashing me right before the show when you two talk?
We don't trash you.
What a bastard he is. Yeah,
In fact, I agree.
I
sent Rob a text yesterday saying Mike's new camera's up. It looks great. And Mike is in a good mood, excited about it and the show.
Yeah.
All positive.
All positive stuff.
I was excited about it. That's absolutely true. I was looking forward to it. You know, just thinking back to, the money we could have saved.
The reason I brought it up, and one of my faults is I'm a people pleaser. It's not helping me in any ways normally.
Do you see what he did there? That's reverse passive aggressiveness.
No,
right there.
It's
do you
not.
Understand? That's how would you say?
No,
it's not really like your humble bragging. Yeah, it is humble brag. It is a humble. One of my problems is that I'm just too kind to people.
No, Mike, I never said that. I said I'm a people pleaser, and that's not
same
good.
Thing.
Yep. I'm late to everything because I hold the door open for all people.
All right, maybe I should bail, but you know what? I'm just wore out enough. Let's continue this a little bit.
No, you're a pleaser. You're a pleaser.
And I like to make people happy. It's why I like to make people laugh. It comes, Mike. I don't know if you know this, and this is perhaps a bad
You are tired.
Bad time of year to bring this up, but Josh,
how is your father, by the way? I know the listeners would like to know that.
He is steady.
Have you broken the news to him?
About the fruitcake, he doesn't care about fruitcake. I will probably make him bourbon balls. That's what he likes. Because that was his nickname in high school.
Well, for somebody with a propensity for a fall, you know, maybe that way, maybe you should rethink that, you know.
Okay, put a pin in that a second. I just want to say that I come from a broken home. Mm-hmm. And because of that, I like when people get along. I like when people are happy. I make the effort to do that. And I know that you like the fruitcake. And it was sad to me that I wouldn't be able to provide that fruitcake.
I would much rather have we made a little changes going forward, more to come with the look of the show. And, you know, we are kind of now more than ever pushing for YouTube because I think that's a great idea. Especially with recent events, I think YouTube is something we ought to focus on. Mm-hmm. And so that we're trying to make a better visual presentation. So Josh did all of that, in his spare time. So, I would urge not necessarily the fruitcakes, but something else that, one day you come in here with an idea or something special
I'd like that.
That would be cool.
And that fruitcakes is not a dead issue. It's just a postponed issue this year.
Don't worry about it.
No,
put it out of your mind.
Quit. Yep. You're done with fruitcakes this year.
Yeah, fruitcakes are done. We put the cookbook out. I get inundated.
Let's see how many things you can quit before the end of the year.
Oh, yeah, we haven't talked about that, have we?
No, maybe on the bonus show?
Yeah, I'd like to do that this week.
What is that? Please give me a hint.
I'd like to know. I've left one of my jobs.
Oh, that's right. Oh, I see.
And it
that's
went
right.
Well.
Oh, that'll be a good bonus show. That'll be a good bonus show to go out with. That's fantastic.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Here's the thing.
Real quick, I said put a pin about my dad. Remember, we were talking either on Thursday or on the bonus show about getting railings. I think it was Friday, the bonus show. So he wouldn't have the risk of falling out of bed. And they told us that you can't do that in the state of Florida because it's like putting someone in jail. It's restraining a patient. It's illegal. Almighty.
That's as stupid as it gets.
It's stupid as it gets. So what I've been doing, it's so simple and I feel like a dummy. But when I leave each day, I put chairs around his bed.
Like
so they're not rails,
you know,
they're chairs.
The fact that
I have to do that is so stupid.
Let's break it down. Rob's dad, if you haven't been paying attention to everything, took a fall twice. The second time was falling out in the middle of the night, falling out of his bed, just in those tiny little beds. Very easy to do, I would think.
Yeah.
And then
big guy, small bed.
Big guy, small bed. And think about the logic of that legislation in the absolute moron state of Florida.
What they're doing is by preventing those bed rails, they're preventing someone who cannot walk from walking.
Yeah.
What's the point? What's the absolute point of it?
That's what they're designed for, so someone doesn't fall out. I mean, it's precisely stupid.
Well, it means at some point there was a lawsuit because someone felt trapped from the bed rails.
Yep.
That they could not get over the bed rails.
Always that. And it's some lobbying company that got to legislators with graft and all that crap.
I would have just gotten a bunch of air mattresses. That way when he falls, it catches him.
Well, they actually offered. They said, we can lower it all the way down and put mats around him.
I will say this, that having been, of the three of us, the most recent one in one of those beds.
And the most prone to fall in.
And, you know, that's recent thing.
Probably true.
I used to be the most prone to fall, but now I'm better.
You know, though, it's been a while. Now I'm gonna boycott myself here. I'm gonna jinx it by saying, I don't know. I think it would be very close between me and Rob, based on Rob's lack of walking and running around. I think it might be. You and I probably the gaits are quite similar the way. But you seem to labor a little bit more than I do because I walk.
Yeah, you do the golf thing,
And that even cart to green, cart to tee, cart to middle of even with the middle. By the way, one of the things I will tell you, the golf game does not support. It does not support a stair motion because it's so flat down here in Florida.
Of course, yeah.
And when I was running around Atlantis in the Bahamas, which is stair-centric, stair.
Why so many stairs, do you suppose? It doesn't seem like it should be.
You go down to like the place where the tank
is. The water slide.
I didn't even do a water slide, but the stairs from – it's so multi-level where the stairs go down from the hotel itself. And then, with the cruise ship, if you didn't want to linger all the time, a lot of times where it would be one floor up or one floor down. So you're constantly using the stairs.
Yeah.
And, I realized I got to find a way to do that more often. I don't want to just do squats. I want to actually do stairs. I think it's healthy. I think it's really healthy to do that. The other thing, when I went kayaking with my kid, I am now, only now, just the whatever muscle group it was that golfers use and kayakers don't, manishevitz. So, you can always be in better shape. That's the way I look at it.
I think, though, all told, don't you think I've probably fallen more than you have?
Yeah.
And I've had some pretty spectacular falls.
The fall I took in the most dangerous place in my home.
The most recent.
Oh, you know what? You know, hold on, though, because I did one tumble in the garage. The tree root would be 2 years ago.
Why the garage? The garage is flat, even pavement.
The garage, let me explain the way these Florida residences work, all right?
Okay.
Everybody down here, the vast majority of people down here that are not moneyed, live in 2,000 square feet. If you did a survey of all the houses in the state of Florida, I guarantee the average would be near probably 1,800 square feet. Would be the average. And I'm sure that's a statistic you could find to the size of houses.
Mine's 2,100.
2,100, so right, and mine is massive at 2,400, but the garage is, they call it a two-car garage. It's not. It's not even close. You got to put your stuff in there.
Two-car or two-cart?
Two-car.
Because I know they have golf carts down there.
Have a separate garage.
If you took all the crap out of my garage, you could probably squeeze two in there. I've seen, and by the way, I see the type of people that have the two cars in the garage down here. Never a car in their driveway, never a stitch of anything in their garage,
Right.
Way to go, waiting for the casket. Good luck with that. Yeah, exactly. No kids.
There's no kids.
Have you ever been to someone's garage and they've got like a pegboard on the wall and the tools are hanging on the pegboard and they've made an outline of every tool in ink on the pegboard so you can know you've done that?
I have a pegboard. I have a pegboard out in my garage.
Yeah, but you don't have the stencils to know what tool goes where.
Did you trace your tools?
No.
Okay. See,
it's an absolute cluster F out there. I got my garage right now. If I took a picture of my garage and I showed it to you, it is just scattered. And with the fish and magician who I just took to school.
Yes.
Jesus. Oh my God.
The fish and rods. I swear they multiply.
Well, yeah,
we went 2, 4, 10, 12.
Yeah, yeah.
The it's way ridiculous. A fishing rod is, there's no good way to store them.
Here's the thing. He's not going to hear this. He's not going to hear this. But I am getting – this is how bad it is. We're going to the Great White North. He wants a very expensive fishing reel, which I am going to get him. Mm-hmm. But we're not going to get the rod that goes with it because we have enough. He can – and here's the nice thing about fishing equipment. You can put a good reel on a okay rod.
Does he need a saltwater rod?
No. You know,
they're a little thicker, a little stronger.
Yeah, I think he's got a saltwater rod, okay. But it's nuts.
Do you have a Pier 1 Imports anywhere? Because you could buy a stick of bamboo and just put the reel on
the way they used to do it.
Yeah.
Just put a worm on the end of a
Mike,
book.
The average size home in Florida is 1,626 square feet.
There it is. Wow. So they're tiny. They're tiny.
It goes back to the 20s and the land boom when people said, let's go to Florida, and they built as many houses as they could.
If you got a national average, I grew up in a house that was under 2,000 square feet. I'm reasonably sure I did.
But
in
Josh,
my center chimney cape.
It was 10 floors, though, and each floor was tiny and so many stairs.
You know, though, let me tell you, as someone who has lived in one big house in his life, that house that I had in Haymarket, remember, before the
That had a
divorce.
Great garage. That had a great garage. That
lost
house.
That one in the great divorce of the 90s.
The national average size is 1,800 square feet.
That's what I would figure,
but
yeah.
But all the new homes are averaging around 2,400 square feet. Because you need more space for all your junk.
Yeah, the stuff. And if you live in a real behemoth, it's dead space. It's a lot of dead space.
It's weird. I mean, ours is a townhouse that doesn't feel big, but it is 2,700 square feet. But
I guess it is.
Because you have three stories.
Because it's vertical.
Mm-hmm.
I really, really think that the reason primarily that the garage is dangerous for me is because there was a golf cart before I got rid of it, and now there's an electric car. And the most dangerous thing in that garage is a charging cable. Big, heavy, thick, or trippable. And then when you've got...
Does a charging cable, I know it's got like a thickness and a big probably like converter on it. Does it just plug into a regular three-prong wall outlet? Or
No, you have to have it wired in.
You have to special... and that was nothing to do, and then you put the unit in there. I will say this, though. Mm-hmm. I am reasonably sure that we ruined our two bicycles down here by leaving them out on the back porch.
We ruined them.
They are too expensive. It's too expensive to fix them right now. I just don't want to do that.
And the weather. Yeah. I mean, I know the first thing to go on your bike was the basket.
The basket, which I had. You know that basket I had. We didn't use the bicycle. I have a bicycle carrier for the back of the car that sits in the garage. Well, I got a good one, by the way.
Mike, use that carrier to take the bikes to the dump.
Yeah. Take them to the dump. But I got to get rid of them. And then you got the first e-bike. And by the way, he will not be getting the Xbox dragster, he was leaning on you hard for that,
wasn't he?
Can't do it. Not going to do it with the stats that are out there.
The reel will take the sting out of that. If he gets that reel, he's going to be delighted.
I think he should be. And, I can count many, many times where I didn't get the numero uno, you know. So that's a good segue to lead me to this next topic I wanted to talk about, which is, by the way, as ham-handed a segue and an end-of-the-year segue as far as I slowly try desperately to maintain my focus till the end of the week. I'm going to say that when you have Christmas movies that you enjoy with the whole family, and mm-hmm. we sat down to watch one last week, you know what makes it better? It makes it better if you don't consume all of them every year. If you wait a couple of years... If you wait a couple of years, it'll be... And I don't think there's any Christmas movie that gets more play on TV and everywhere else than A Christmas Story with Ralphie. And yeah. I probably hadn't watched it for 2 or 3 years. Mm-hmm. And I am here to tell you, thoroughly entertained last evening.
It's just so much fun.
Yeah.
It's my favorite.
And the best guy in it is Darren McGavin.
Oh, he's genius.
Just steals the movie. He really does. Ralph was fantastic. But
without
Darren
even
McGavin.
Trying, he does it.
Right.
I mean, it's just him being him. You know, to your point, I didn't watch it last year. And this year, Kathy had never seen it. So we watched the...
She never saw A Christmas Story?
No, in a different movie. The Christmas Chronicles with Kurt Russell. Where Kurt Russell plays Santa Claus with the two kids.
Pretty, just as big. For a new one, pretty solid.
I love it. And I didn't watch it last year.
Yep.
And I really, really, and she did too.
That's a good one.
Right.
That's a good one. I remember thinking, oh, you know, Tim Allen did his level best to ruin Christmas. Oh, yeah. He really did.
I liked the first one.
You liked the Santa Claus?
I liked the first Santa Claus.
Yeah.
Really?
But see, Mike, that's why you got to get on board with Rob and I. And watch the new cheesy ones that come out every Christmas.
Yeah, that does sort of. It's like it takes the edge off.
So you're talking about like the Hallmark movies?
Yeah. But now they're on Netflix and Amazon. They've all got them. So
yeah, I got a text with an arrow. You know,
I'm not averse to that with this week coming up. I'm not averse to getting into the holiday spirit.
Don't focus on them. You have to have them on in the background or do something else because you get mad if you just watch them.
They're not
good.
But if
in the background, Josh sent me a text this weekend that said something like, "Did you get my secret Santa?" And I'm like, "What is he talking about? I didn't know we were exchanging gifts." So I called him, and he said, "No, the movie on Netflix. Did you watch Secret Santa?"
We're checking in on our dumb movies.
Yeah, I saw Secret Santa. I saw that one highlighted. Yeah. I have no intention of. I just don't think I could handle it.
It's the perfect like Hallmarky style Christmas.
I would say the first one for Mike to watch. Watch Hot Santa or Hot Frosty. Hot Frosty is a good
answer.
We had a girl at American University that did that, and
Frosty.
Oh my God, it was something special. I remember it was the day after the Super Bowl, and I was up in her room, and go ahead.
I thought it was more of a Christmas thing.
It's mm-hmm. fun to watch them and see like the stars of yesteryear that show up for these movies.
They can usually bring in.
I remember you when you were 16 in TV, and you haven't been in anything in 30 years.
Mm-hmm. I remember you as the mom on The Wonder Years. And look, there's Tim Reed from WKRP in Cincinnati.
Speaking of Rob and his love of nostalgia, I wanted to tell you, this showed up in my feed, and I really watched the whole thing. It was like a 20-minute segment. That's a long time when you're doing the little surfing. I will tell you that it was the story of the Rat Pack, and I don't know if you're aware of this, that apparently – Dean Martin walked off stage when they were performing at the Sands, got pissed off at Frank, using him as a punching bag, and walked off stage. And Frank had to eventually go to him and do something he never did, which was apologize.
Wow.
And it's because he was just using Dino as a punching bag. And apparently some of his buddies were there and some of the executives. It was an opening night. And Dean was embarrassed and walked off. Did you ever hear that story?
I never have, but it makes sense because mm-hmm. Dean was the only one who was never scared of Frank.
Right.
And he would tell Frank, you know, Frank would make everyone go out drinking and Dean wouldn't go. He just didn't want to go. He didn't want to do it. But the thing that surprises me is what people don't realize a lot of times is that the entire Rat Pack show in Vegas was scripted pretty tightly and written by Joey Bishop. And I mean, even the forgetful stuff was in it. And if you can look at tapes and movies of like shows that are separated by months and they're almost identical down to the ad lib.
It was an act.
Yeah, so I wonder what Frank would have done so bad. I would love to see that.
It was an act pretending to be unscripted, like this show. Everything you're hearing us say to... Hold on a second.
You got to scroll back.
Yeah, let me just get it. Everything you are hearing us say today is unscripted.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very kindly.
That. I hope you'll do that. So getting back to the whole Christmas movie thing.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not doing anything by saying it's a great movie, but the performances, you know, from the teacher to the little boy, Ralphie's brother. What was Ralphie's brother's name? I forget.
Oh, Ralphie and
you never the one that eats like a little piggy.
Yeah, and sits under the kitchen cabinet
and is crying on cue. Absolutely beautiful. And the mom who's no longer with us, and Darren McGavin who's
Melinda
no longer
Dillon.
With us.
Yeah.
And speaking of no longer with us, we'll have it in the news segment. I didn't want to do it
Randy.
At the front.
Randy. Right. Exactly.
Randy, who looked like a tick ready to burst when he got all the stuff on there.
When the fight happened, he said he just fell and stayed still. It was his only defense.
Oh, my God. It's just
the movie is like eight great segments in a row with a common theme. And that's a tricky movie to make.
It is. It is. It was fantastic.
Every one of them works.
Speaking of the bad stuff.
Don't watch the new one that HBO did like last year.
Oh, the worst.
Don't watch that.
Absolutely. Where they tried to recreate it. Come on. Like,
where it's like the old man telling the story or whatever. Ralphie's now the old man.
I remember liking it, but not enough that I'm back watching it again this year. I don't think it was as bad as everyone said it was. I thought it was nice, but
really?
It's not magical. Yeah,
it's horrible.
Magical.
It's horrible. But speaking of bad stuff, we have to talk about it. We'll do it when we continue with the news here. It's just horrible. Horrible, horrible, horrible. But first, I want to remind you of something. This holiday season, what does comfort look like to you? For me, it's slowing down, finding calm amid the chaos, and making home a place where everyone can truly relax. That's where Avocado Green Mattress comes in. Avocado helps you create your own natural oasis, a calm, cozy space filled with certified organic comfort. Their handcrafted mattresses are designed for deeper, more restorative sleep, and their breathable pillows and soft organic bedding bring that same luxury to every part of your home. Hosting family this year, Avocado's sustainable furniture, like their beautifully made city bed frame, helps you create a warm, inviting space where everyone sleeps well and feels cared for. Everything Avocado makes is thoughtfully crafted with the planet in mind, certified organic, non-toxic, and built to last, so you can feel good about the comfort you bring into your home, because Avocado believes in being better for you and better for the planet. Prioritize rest and recharge with Avocado's organic comfort. Head to avocadogreenmattress.com today to create your natural oasis and save big during their holiday sale. Avocado. Dream of better. The Mike O'Mara Show is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Fiscally responsible, financial genius, monetary magician. These are things people say about drivers who switch their car insurance to Progressive and save hundreds. You see, my friends, Progressive offers discounts for paying in full, owning a home, and more. Plus, you can count on their great customer service to help you when you need it, so your dollar goes a long way. Visit Progressive.com to see if you could save on car insurance. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states or situations. Are you still searching for the perfect gift? There's still time to buy the best present ever. Legacy Box.
Yes.
Legacy Box, the simplest, safest way to reclaim all the priceless footage you haven't seen in years. Right now, you can get your family's videotapes converted for just $9 each. Everything is done by hand right here in the United States. Convert your media to digital copies that will always be protected from floods, mold, even the decay of time. The process is easy. Send in your legacy box filled with old VHS tapes, camcorder tapes, and pictures. You'll get it back on the cloud or a thumb drive, along with your originals. Just think of all the Christmas mornings you recorded. Relive those with the family this season on the big screen with Legacy Box. Legacy boxes are still in stock and ready to ship. Don't let another holiday pass without saving the moments that make your family who they are. Make this holiday season special by giving the gift of memories. Get your family's videotapes converted for just $9 during this exclusive last-minute holiday offer from Legacy Box. Go to legacybox.com/TMOS. That's legacybox.com/TMOS. And we thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's funny when Josh ducks out of the shot, isn't it? It's disconcerting a little bit.
I always hope he's doing something magically special for the show.
Yes, yeah, I'm pressing magically, the music
magically delicious. Yes. What were you going to say something? No, go ahead.
I'm pressing the buttons, and it's this new layout I have to figure out so the camera will follow me over here, I guess.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. Mine's not doing that.
Yeah. Well,
if you haven't noticed, I have a new camera.
Mm-hmm.
Josh has the same camera. Rob looks like he has the same camera, and that's what we've been shooting for. So
yeah.
That's a good thing. You know, I want to start with a real Hollywood tragedy and one of the greatest directors of modern cinema that we've ever had. I mean, it's just it's hard to even conceive of this. And was that
Kathy's Kathy on the phone today?
Oh,
yeah,
okay. I assume she's on the phone.
Yeah. She doesn't normally walk around the apartment talking.
legendary director Rob Reiner and his wife passed away yesterday. They were found dead in their home in Los Angeles in an apparent homicide. And apparently their son is the prime suspect. Rob was 78. His wife was 70. Rob and his wife reportedly suffered, quote, lacerations consistent with a knife. This is an ongoing investigation. Sources say they were murdered by their 32-year-old son, Nick. What the hell?
Yeah, this morning's report said throats were slit during a heated argument.
God almighty. Rob and Michelle also share another son, Jake, and a daughter, Romy. And Rob also has an adopted daughter, Tracy, from his first marriage to Penny Marshall. Rob was born in 1947 to Estelle and Carl Reiner. He began his career as Steve Martin's writing partner in the Smothers Brothers Comedy Hour in 1968. They were the youngest on the staff. 2 years later, he joined All in the Family. For those of us that are older, you remember Mike Stivic, Meathead from
Meathead.
All in the Family.
Yeah.
His directorial debut was This Is Spinal Tap, which is the farce of a rock band.
Yeah, he played Marty DeBerge in that.
1984, that kicked off his legendary career. Here are some of the films that you might not be aware of, directed by Rob Reiner. Stand By Me, classic.
Oh,
the Princess Bride, classic. When Harry Met Sally, classic.
Amazing, yeah.
Misery, close to a classic. Won an Academy Award for Kathy Bates. A Few Good Men, classic. I mean, I'm not exaggerating by saying these are all classic movies right here.
A Few Good Men is such a well-directed film because that could just be, you know, screaming actors. But his direction of it keeps it even and really, really a fine film. That's good stuff.
The American President, that's Annette Bening, and I just love
Michael
that
Douglas
movie.
Wasn't, was
Michael
he in that
Douglas,
or not?
Yeah. The Bucket List, I think that's Morgan Freeman in that.
Recent, yeah.
And Spinal Tap 2, recently. I haven't seen that one yet. That is...
I don't think that's out yet.
Any more information on what you know? Was his son troubled, or have you read anything more on it?
I believe I read there were some mental issues with the son.
And the daughter is the one that told the police, hey, you should talk to this family member because he's a problem.
Oh, my God. That's such a tragedy. I mean, it really is.
An amazing showbiz lineage. He was actually kind of responsible for the launch of Albert Brooks's career because he told his dad, Carl Reiner, he says, I found the funniest kid in school and I want to bring him home and show him to you. And he brought Albert Brooks into his house like as a teenager to perform for Carl Reiner. And
I had no idea.
That is a funny kid. And they helped him along the way. He's just so connected in everything good about show business. It's a tragedy. And remember, he was an early Saturday Night Live participant as well. He's been involved in a lot of stuff.
You never know. You know, this falls right into that philosophy that I seem to adhere to a little bit more. It's tough for me to do that the way I operate. But when you talk about it, you never know what somebody's going through, and you really don't. We never know. We never know what the public facade is and what the reality is. You never know what the person in the car next to you is going through. You never have any idea what that's going to be. And this falls squarely into that category. But I think as someone who loved his films and loved his comedy, and you know, you have to mention I loved his politics. Yeah. I really, really feel that this is such a tragedy, and I, you know, because I'm an American and I'm curious, I want to know more why this horrible thing would have happened. But
the only positive I see in this is that if this calls attention even more so, and I know we've gotten better as a nation about helping people that are having mental anguish and trouble and not, you know, putting a stigma on it. Hopefully this can open it even further, because this is a tragedy that if all signs point to, it was because this poor kid had troubles inside his head. And well, you got to help these people. Mm-hmm. And I hope this helps in that direction. That's it, you know.
And I know he's had drug addiction issues as well.
Mm-hmm. Oh, God. All right. Well, that's a shame. And, you know, if you get a chance during the holidays, think of the Reiner family and everything that they must be going through. It's got to be, you know, anything that happens
this
time of year. Just absolutely horrible. So we're sorry about that. And, you know, I really think that when it comes to these issues, so often it does involve that and drugs, and it's just, would you not agree that it's becoming tougher? It's becoming,
yes,
you know, society, mm-hmm, in general, and the divisiveness that we all have, and the, you know, the fact that we are divided, and the fact that we argue all the time, and the fact that you know, the only thing we seem to be consistent about is our consumer culture, and everything else,
right,
is leave people by the side. We got to pick each other up. We have
we
to pick each other up.
We
really
do.
Really do. It's just an unimaginable tragedy for the Reiner family. So
hate all of it. Hate it.
It's terrible. Let me change the subject. Subject to another bummer. If you've been holding out hope for a white Christmas, here's the latest. Christmas is 10 days out, and advanced weather forecasts are shifting. Damn it. Meteorologists say a warming trend is expected this in the coming weeks, so the odds of a white Christmas are diminishing.
You'll get one in Maine, won't you? They'll be still
don't
on
think
the
so. No,
really?
Coastal Maine, don't think so. That's a big relief to anyone doing a lot of traveling or driving over the holidays. I have to look at it that way. But a big bummer to those who love the idea of a white Christmas. A temperature outlook for the Climate Prediction Center shows the majority of the country is expected to see above average temperatures from the 19th to the 25th. Essentially, when I'm going to be up in the Great White North, damn it.
I think it's got to be, it's a gimmick. Something, it's big weather. Big weather is doing this.
You think this is a con, some sort of con? What would the reason be to do this con?
Because big weather hates the people that make salt.
Okay, thanks for that. Let's see. The only places that are expected to have below normal temperatures are the northern parts of Montana, North Dakota, and Minnesota. Oh, yeah. With Maine.
Well, hey, there you go.
New Hampshire and Vermont, too, and all of Alaska. I'm on the list.
Yeah.
I'm on the list. Yay. Yeah. Mr. Florida. O'Mara, your flight has been canceled. There you go.
Although, when you get up there with your wife, there's going to be some heat.
Hey, we're off the hook texting with my sister this weekend. Niece's house for Christmas Eve, sister's house for Christmas dinner. Hello, all what? Taken care of. Minimal effort on the part of
Are
our family.
Are you sure that it's a true invitation to Kathy's? It wasn't just in passing. She meant it.
My sister, I haven't experienced holiday Kathy in a long time. She is in, yeah, Rob.
Merry Christmas, Mike. I always
she
love you.
Is in full. She is at full speed. She is in third gear, ready to go, go, go. And I'm cool with it.
Yeah.
It's a week. Who can't handle a week, right?
Well,
it's going to be spectacular.
That's a lot of days.
Yeah, but I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah,
I really
you know what? I think
when do you start to drive?
We're not driving. We're flying.
Oh, even better.
Yeah, we're flying.
Are you landing on that airstrip behind Kathy's house?
We're landing at that Air Force base.
Oh, good.
We are. We are. It's
That's
called,
so cool.
And it's named after a vegetable, peas.
Oh, it's been a
We're
while.
We're landing at Pease Air Force Base. I'm pretty sure that's where our plan. I'll try to dial
you,
that in
do you
before
land
the
or
show's
just
over.
Jump out.
Yeah, well, we're coming out of the parachute. Yeah. Should be fun. On a lighter note, Dick Van Dyke celebrated his 100th birthday on Saturday. And his wife, Arlene Silver, says she had a great time and he had a great time. They had a party at their Malibu home attended by friends and family. Arlene led a surprise flash mob that danced to a medley of Dick's songs. That's pretty thoughtful. That is cool. I like that.
Do you remember interviewing him?
I do. I remember, you know, an icon, a true icon, and it was and as nice as you would expect him.
One of
be.
The neatest things, it was one of those Radio Row type things. It was a press thing for Diagnosis Murder. That's how long ago it was. But as he got closer to our table, to hear his voice and realize just what a part of growing up his voice was.
Yep.
Was so cool. And he was very, very nice. I love
him. It went so perfectly, she says, everything. And he was so happy. His face, I love to make him have that face. That's a great wife right there that's doing that for him. Prior to the actual date, Dick told People magazine, quote, "I feel really good for 100. So I can't do a Dick Van Dyke impression.
You know, I thought that was great. I thought you were
Jim Chimmery.
I thought you were doing Rosemary.
Sometime I have more energy than others, but I never wake up in a bad mood.
You know what's really sad is they gave it, Mike, and you can relate to this, they gave Dick Van Dyke a hard time for marrying a much younger woman, and now she's 80.
Yeah. By the way, I wake up he never wakes up in a bad mood. I never wake up in a bad mood. I just wake up filled with dread.
Yeah, and then it is us who lights the fuse.
That's right, and then the mood changes. Yay. Do you even love Christmas music? I think I do. I think I really do. I think I'm guilty like everybody else.
I do, and it just occurred to me today, I haven't listened to any of it this year yet.
You know what's this article says? You don't love Christmas music if you're not working out to it. A site called my look at Rob's face working out exercise. Right.
He doesn't like any music.
No. A site called My Body Tutor analyzed 500 holiday songs.
Do you
on
like
Spotify.
My Body Tutor?
These are songs that have 120 to 150 beats per minute, which is considered optimal for moderate to high intensity workouts like cardio, running, and strength training.
BPM, man. BPM.
There are 10 of them. I winnowed it down to the top five.
Thank you.
The top five are number five, Jingle Bells, Michael Bublé, 140 BPM, beats per minute.
That has to be a pretty fast Jingle Bells.
I think so. Rocking Around the Christmas Tree, 146 beats per minute.
Seems about right.
And by the way, the best cover, in my humble opinion, of any Christmas song is Leanne Rimes' version of Rockin' Around the Christmas Tree with the Big Band. I freaking love that song.
God Rest You Merry Gentlemen by William Shatner.
Jingle Bells by Frank Sinatra is on the list also. I think it's a jazzier version of Jingle Bells.
No, I can sing it to you, and I don't think it's that fast.
It says 148 beats per minute.
I love those J-I-N-G-L-E bells.
1, 2, 3, 4. Bing. 1, 2, 3, 4.
I love those
okay.
J-I-N-G. I think they're lying to you.
Feliz Navidad by Jose Feliciano is 149 beats per minute.
Yeah, I dance to that. I mean, workout.
What do you think number one is? I'll give you a hint. The winds keep coming for this one.
It's Mariah.
Mariah, All I Want for Christmas Is You. 150 beats per minute.
Does she work out to that song?
I think she's looking pretty good
now.
I mean, that was 90s, Rob, that she went through that.
She's no Arlene Van Dyke.
Is Arlene Van Dyke really 80 now? Is that true?
I have no idea, but I was just
that'd be a 30-year be a 20-year age difference. All right. Democrats on the House Oversight Committee released some photos from the Epstein files on Friday. They include several famous faces. To be fair, none of the pics show anyone engaging in illegal behavior. Damn it. That being said, here are some of the big names seen buddying up to Jeffrey. The obvious ones, President Trump and Bill Clinton. Prince Andrew and Steve Bannon. Ew.
God.
Oh, can you imagine if he went to, if Steve Bannon went to the island? Oh, yeah. Gross. Oh, my God. Can you imagine if you're one of those young girls and you go in and you got to give Bannon a massage, that beached whale? That's gross.
It's me, Steve Bannon. I got new trunks this
year.
Oh,
my God. Again, no biggie with these pictures. They're just poses with the guy. Nothing. Billionaires Richard Branson and Bill Gates also make appearances. And there are several pictures of Woody Allen. Of course there are. The great Pervolino, Woody Allen, right? Let's see. This one's kind of out of left field. Jimmy Buffett is there also.
And now, silenced. He cannot tell the truth.
Jimmy Buffett, the Margaritaville guy. Yeah, we know the Margaritaville guy.
Is that really in the copy?
And his wife are in a pic with Clinton, Epstein, and Ghislaine Maxwell.
But that's the stuff we already know. Like, we know that guy was around every single celebrity out there.
Yep. There's also a picture of some Donald Trump novelty condoms with Donald Trump's face and the words, "I'm huge," on the wrapper.
Wow.
Classy.
That's our president, folks.
There are other sex toys, too, like a jawbreaker gag and a really creepy-looking rubber sex glove with ribbed fingers. You know, man, I mean, well, I really...
That's for the dentist chair.
I like you know, adult sex time, sexy time as much as the next guy, I think.
Yeah.
God. I mean, that's just every fiber of your being. You know,
if you look close, Mike, you can see Jimmy Buffett has a vibrating cheeseburger.
Hey, give me a massage today. An 86-year-old man in Tampa, Florida, named James Manateris, found himself dangling off his roof three stories high last Wednesday afternoon. He was up there blowing leaves and other debris off his roof, but he was struggling to support himself.
Was it the leaves' birthday?
And his shoes weren't doing well, so he decided to get down and crawl, but he kept sliding closer and closer to the edge. Unclear how long he was hanging on for dear life up there, but a neighbor saw his legs hanging over the side of the roof. That's like those fake decorations have with the ladder.
Halloween decoration, yeah.
The authorities arrived, ran up to the roof, pulled James to safety without any issues. He apologized and thanked everyone, but they said they were just there to help. Hopefully, James also apologizes and thanks his wife. He says his wife, Sharon, has been yelling at him for years not to go on the roof. Sounds like he's finally ready to give it up, but who knows? You know, he might be a stubborn old man, and he might claim he's going to stop, but then he goes up to the roof again. So he was saved, and isn't that sweet? And
finally, he also came down with a bad case of shingles.
Yes. Oh, bada bing, bada boom. Finally, a guy in Wilmington, Delaware, got arrested last week after he called the cops and told them he stole a car. The owner reported it missing a day earlier. They told police they were letting their Hyundai Sonata warm up in the front of their place Tuesday morning. When they came back, it was gone when they came out front. Cops didn't know who did it until they got another call the next day from 21-year-old Kayon Baxter, who freely admitted he took the car. And the fun part is why he called. It's not clear where he parked it, but it got towed overnight. And he'd left some personal belongings in it, so he wanted to know if he could come get his stuff back.
Oh, God. Crooks, Mike. Crooks.
Instead, they tracked him down and arrested him the same day. They eventually found the car at a nearby tow lot, and his belongings were still in it, so at least he might get his stuff back someday. He's facing charges for felony theft of a motor vehicle. His belongings are as follows. A Rubik's Cube. This is just not funny, but it's funny because it's not. Textbooks.
Of course, they're expensive.
The New York Times Book of Crossword Puzzles.
Keeps you sharp.
A bottle of Prevagen.
Well, you shouldn't have forgot anything.
That's for brain health, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah,
get it?
Yeah. Just
the same 86-year-old?
No, this is just a dumb guy. A collection of Star Wars drinking glasses.
Oh, you can't let those go. Those are appreciating.
That may have been the first comedy item I have ever searched for AI. I was struggling coming up with comedy eyes, but that's the one I used. A copy of the periodic table.
and the TMOS family cookbook, even though we've sold them anyway. I don't need to put that in there, but there it is, ladies and gentlemen.
He left it behind in the car.
Left it behind. There it is. See, because that's the joke. You see, he was stupid. So
that's right.
I put funny things.
Maybe, Mike.
There we go. Hey, yes.
Maybe Arch, he just forgot to take the Prevagen.
Yes. Funny. All right. Where's my music for commercials?
It's coming. There it is.
Thank you. Time is running out. The big day is almost here, so skip the panic and give an Aura frame. Love it, love, love it, love it, love it, love it, love it. It is without a doubt the coolest digital picture frame that's out there. People love it because it can be all about them. The frame allows for unlimited free photos and video. Just download the Aura app and connect it to Wi-Fi. Plus, you can preload photos before it ships and keep adding them from anywhere, anytime. You can even add a message before it arrives.
So
you
cool.
can share photos and videos effortlessly straight from your phone all year long. Even better, every frame comes packaged in a premium gift box. No price tag. Remember, you can't wrap togetherness, but you can frame it. For a limited time, save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $35 off. That's Aura's best-selling Carver Matte Frames, named number one by Wirecutter. By using promo code TMOS at checkout, that's the deal. That's AuraFrame.com, promo code TMOS. This deal is exclusively to our listeners, and frames sell out fast. So order yours now to get it in time for the holidays. Support the show by mentioning us at checkout. Terms and conditions apply. Now, I would like to also recommend, this is our last week of shows. We've got some specialty content. We've got specialty stuff. Well, let's go to our expert, and I call him the Taskmaster.
Right.
I always have to defer to you when it comes to scheduling and everything we're doing.
Well, Monday, Tuesday, Mike will be broadcasting from Maine.
Mm-hmm.
By himself.
All by himself, yeah.
Are you outside. Busting my balls? You scared me there.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yes. We don't have you doing any shows.
No, okay. Very good. Thank you.
We have a great mix of Rob radios, some specials, bringing back some old promos. And then we also
Josh. Let me jump in. Is that I was going through some files and I found many, many old promos dating back maybe 10 years that are still really funny.
Okay.
So since we haven't aired them in so long, I'm going to put together like a best of show that's best of promos, and I promise you, you'll love them. I was dying.
Amato has informed me that in the year 2026, he will be joining us again for some promo work, and we're very, very looking forward to that. And he wants to do a writer's meeting, and I said to him, Rob is ready and willing and able to
The weird thing, Mike, is our writer's meeting will be totally done by writing letters. He will write me a letter and put it in the mail, and I will take it and send it back and say, this looks good.
And I let him know that you will be stopping by on the way to Maine.
Yeah.
Yes. We're going to go via Pittsburgh. It's going to be great.
Well,
we love you.
Where our next cruise is coming out of Pittsburgh.
Chris Arnold said, any appearances from Marcus Serta? There's a name from the past, isn't it?
No, sir.
This last week of shows for the commenters and Super chats are not only welcome, but appreciated.
And we do have some new content coming out over the next 2 weeks as well.
That's exciting.
We're doing some extras and stuff.
And tomorrow we've got that interview with the Johnny Carson guy. I'm very excited about that.
Very cool.
Mark Malkoff has just written a book about Johnny Carson.
I continue to be fascinated by Johnny Carson each and every day. Always. I got a clip over the weekend that I looked at of Rodney coming out, like, not in the Rodney uniform, not in the black suit with the red tie, coming out, like, in a brown suit with no tie and trying to be chill Rodney, and it bombed.
With Johnny?
It bombed, yes. I will try to find it. It's very, very weird. Very, very strange.
I bet Malkoff, this guy, will know about that. You can ask him about that.
Yeah, it's interesting the way that rolls. I wanted to mention, I've been talking about Happy Valley and my golf mates.
Yeah.
Last week, I was very proud of the fact that I came out of hospital and played golf on Tuesday and Friday. And as you know, we are like to wager very often out there.
It keeps it interesting.
And this time of year, there are more golfers who play because people come from up north down to the warmer weather of Florida. And I happened to be win the team game
What are you doing there?
It sounds like pouring a drink.
What I was putting the drink away. Yeah,
that was loud. That really picked up on the mic, didn't it? Yeah. I was the victor on Tuesday, and then we have what was called the individual game, which all men for themselves.
And if you continue that, Mike, you will go blind.
22 to 24 golfers. I won the whole thing.
What'd you
and
shoot?
I am only an 82, but I got enough strokes to make it work.
Wow, good for
and
you!
I will tell you.
But what was the cash?
The cash was the total. I want to say like $125. So it was a really nice little windfall for our game.
That's
now I know people gamble more.
Pole,
I listen to me. I believe. A guy said to me, "You know, you're developing a bit of a reputation." And that scares me because you know what that means? Sandbagger. Do you know what a sandbagger is, Rob?
Yes, someone who pretends to not be good, and then they come in and they beat the hell out of you.
I am not a sandbagger. I can go out and shoot. I can shoot a high number, but I believe after he said this, and he corrected himself and said, you just seem to play really well under pressure, but I know.
And then
that
he rolled his eyes.
The reaction I got was not the usual jovial, let's pick on the Democrat reaction that I normally get at Happy Valley. It was definitely a sober reaction. And I think anybody that wins a lot is going to get that. And, you know, I've been successful with those individual games.
You seem to play better when there's money on the line?
I do.
Yeah.
I do. And you know what? I'm not going to embarrass myself by, looking around the room and goes, guys, I'm the only one that really needs it here.
Yeah. Have you seen my Timu shoes?
Yeah, they know. I tell them I wear my Chinese shoes all the time. Excuse me. Yes.
Tell them that all the money you win, you donate to charity. It doesn't have to be true, but as long as they think it.
I don't know. You know, it's I'm proud of my Chinese shoes, by the way, which have held up magnificently.
And
I am still wearing them. All the original ones, the original ones I bought before the summer.
Mike, please call them Chinese golf shoes, because when you call them Chinese shoes, I'm picturing more slippers, like a black silk slipper.
Okay, like of course you are, because you go back to the Charlie Chan movies.
King and I, maybe. Yeah.
Oh my God. Well, that was not China.
That's true. That was Siam.
You know, I would love to get Bobby Lee on the show because they do this great bit. He is so wonderful with the Asian racism of his partner. And it is just, he goes on, there's a clip of him on Theo Von's podcast where Bobby Lee says, "Why do you keep looking at me when you're talking about Chinese? Do you know what I am?" And Theo Von's like, "I don't know, you know," because Theo Von's a big dummy.
Yeah.
It's just, Bobby Lee, that is a great, great, I don't endorse many podcasts, but the Bobby Lee podcast is really, really
bad
terrific. Bad Friends. I wish I knew the red-haired guy
Andrew
that works.
Santoni or something?
Fantastic.
Something.
Just
so
really well done. Really well done.
Bobby Lee landed in a format that works for him.
Oh, it does.
He's so funny, but
he's
was so really
funny.
Hard to like place, you know?
His stand-up was pretty good, but I think he was great in sketch comedy.
Wonderful.
You know, when he played the baby one time, it was spectacular. Was it In Living Color? Is that the one that he was on, or was it Mad TV?
I think he was Mad TV.
I think he was Mad TV. Fabulous guy. I still have the video on my phone of when he molested me at the Improv. It's just hysterical. Hey, Terry, thank you very much. Happy birthday to my firstborn, Stacy. Yay. Was Stacy the one I kicked out of the slots?
On the cruise. Yeah, she's probably stopped crying by now.
Thank you for the $20 super chat. It's always nice when we get those. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday. Josh, you want to join us?
No,
happy birthday, Stacy.
To you.
Happy birthday to you. Happy
Josh, not so loud next time.
Yeah, absolutely. So anyway, I think it's not that I'm not going to try. I'm still going to do the best I can. And if they have a problem with it, I mean, I'm sorry. It's the second time I've won an individual game. And that's hard to do with 22 other people out there slaying the dragon.
Can you wear like two patches on your golf shirt now?
No. I just like what I put away.
Maybe they should raise the stakes. See how you do with real pressure.
You mean like money?
Yeah.
God, I wouldn't do that. I'd be, no, stop it. Stop it. Don't even suggest that. Please.
I mean, what's considered a lot? Like $400 a hole? Is that
and they
a lot?
Say that. Yeah, well, there's a group of, there's a subgroup there. And okay. These are the swinging D's that are out there. And by the way, they play, you're supposed to play with a foursome. They play with a fivesome. And they're out there. And I know the bets are pretty big. Yeah. I don't even get in that group. No. Well,
make it a sixsome and bring in right. Mike O'Mara.
Exactly.
You're the low-end sandbagger.
I am. I am indeed. We have to take a break here, ladies and gentlemen. Before we do that, I want to tell you about another fine sponsor of the Mike O'Mara Show. Whoa. Soul. Rob eats 15 Soul gummies before every live show.
Yes.
Now, outside of a little dry mouth, he's fine. He's fine as wine.
And but, I'll be taking one before my flight today. I'm so excited for the person sitting next to me.
When the holiday season rolls around, it feels like there's a party every weekend. All of those sugary drinks add up this season. I'm sorry, I didn't read that correctly. I should have taken one. All those sugary drinks add up.
Pause.
Hold on. All of those sugary drinks add up. It just needs a period. That's okay. What it is. That's all it needs. This season, I'm going to reach for Soul's out-of-office gummies instead. Same fun vibe, low in calories, and zero hangover. Soul specializes in delicious hemp-derived THC and CBD products designed to boost your mood and help you unwind. If you like their out-of-office gummies, try the out-of-office beverage, a so refreshing good. Alcohol-free alternative that's perfect for winding down on the couch or socializing at a tedious office party.
Tedious.
Soul also has a variety of products specifically designed to help you get better rests, including their top-selling sleepy gummies. With wellness at the forefront, you can feel good about what you're putting in your body. All of Soul's products are made from organically farmed USA-grown hemp and are vegan, gluten-free, low in sugar, and federally legal. The reindeer aren't the only ones that'll be flying this holiday. Huh? Am I right, ladies? Bring on the holiday cheer and treat yourself or someone you love to Soul. This season, right now, Soul is offering the TMOS audience 30% off your entire order. Go to GetSoul.com and use the code TMOS. That's GetSoul.com with promo code TMOS for 30% off. All right, I call this Josh's Culture Hunt and Josh's Hottest Christmas Toy. It's dealer's choice, whatever you want to talk about first, Mr. Soroka.
Well, I'll share. I went to the Nutcracker this weekend. And this is a thing that Kelly has done forever, where she goes to the Nutcracker every year.
Yeah. Does she see different presentations, or is there one group that she likes? Because the classic one that they have here at, I believe, the Warner Theater is sensational.
That is, by the way, a holiday tradition. That's a holiday tradition in many families. I think my ex-wife's family does that. I never had the pleasure because they didn't want me there. But
paid for the tickets.
Yeah. I never paid for the tickets, but I did refer to the ex as the Nutcracker.
Mike, in passing, in an unrelated way, you paid for the tickets.
I did, yes, absolutely.
Indirectly, yeah.
100%. But do you go every year?
So this is the third year I've gone with her. And the past 2 years, we've gone to the University of North Florida, where they have like a touring group that comes in and presents it.
Solid performance.
Perfect, yeah. Solid performance, very good. This year, we decided to change things up a little bit. There is the Florida Theater in Jacksonville, which is this really cool venue because it's just an old theater.
Mm-hmm.
And they've been advertising how they do the Nutcracker every year, and this is the 35th year of doing the Nutcracker.
That's great. With the same cast.
Exactly, right. So we it costs a little bit more. But it's this really cool venue, so we said, all right, we're going to do it.
You pay for quality.
You pay for the quality. You pay for the upcharge, and we're going to this really nice theater.
That's right. Cool. I like that.
The problem is the presentation was the worst I've ever seen, and it felt like a high school production.
Oh, no. That was the worst. I've been to those local theaters.
What is the weakest link?
Here's the problem. What we did not know until sitting in our seats to watch this thing and paying $75 a person to watch this thing.
Oh, my God. That's a lot.
What we did not realize was very early on, before it even starts, it was a more of a rowdy crowd. Like there was, like people were cheering and stuff for things.
Like a Rocky Horror Picture Show kind of crowd, like where it's like the audience.
No, no, like a high school production.
Oh, okay.
There were probably kids in the production.
Yeah. And that's when we realized that it is the 35th year of the community presentation of the Nutcracker.
Professionals.
It is all the ballet schools in Northern Florida come together to do this every year.
And did they have any theater kids up there? Well, we have the local community theater down here, and there are always like three or four Robs up on stage.
I like when you try to spot the Rob at a theater presentation.
Yeah, there's always at least one.
Especially if it's a dinner theater.
Well, they did a few things. One, they changed some of the dance moves, because they could not do the ballet very well.
Oh, I understand.
And then they changed some of the
dresses. Can I ask one question, Josh?
So it would cover up some of the lack of dance moves.
Mm-hmm. Were the dancers challenged because they were perhaps carrying a little more weight than the average ballerina?
Very well. Well phrased, Mike.
At some point, I was going to share about the Nutcracker Prince.
Prince. One of the star. Lead. The big deal, yeah.
The lead. Big guy. Also, the biggest
Hold on. When you say big guy, are we talking about? All right, here we go. I'll ask you this.
I promise you.
Yes.
This is a 9th or 10th grade boy that at some point someone went to him and said, you know, ballet would really help your football agility.
He's that
one
big.
Of those stories, yeah.
Biggest backside I've ever seen in tights.
Wow. That's why they're getting $35 a ticket.
$75. There was basically two professionals the entire night on stage that performed well.
Were they dancers?
That were dancers.
Okay.
Everyone else was doing ballet, but every scene, you know, the Nutcracker is a bunch of scenes.
And right. It's a ballet is what it is.
Mm-hmm. So every scene, there was at least one person offbeat
or
missing
their
steps. And
that
turned
is terrible.
Into sitting there and finding the worst person of each scene on the stage.
Did you
jump when the Rat King came out? That always startles me. That thing's a dick.
Well,
Rat King.
No.
Okay.
No. I was.
Was your wife pissed?
At the price tag, yes.
Yeah, at the price tag, and the fact that the quality might surprise
the price
you.
Tag, we will not be going back to that Nutcracker next year.
Was there an orchestra? Or were they dancing to track?
No, they. Dance to track, but they made sure to come out and thank the audio engineer, who I guess had to just hit play on the button.
All right, let me ask this question. The other one you went through, did they have an orchestra when you went to the other one? Because, I mean, that's part of the thing. It's
for $75 bucks, you should get a band.
I believe one of the ones I went to did have an orchestra.
That'd be very, very cool.
The last time I went and saw the Nutcracker, it was at a high school because Julia's friend was in it, and the track was played too quiet, and we were seated up front, so all I heard was feet hitting the stage. It was horrible.
You know, was it college or high school?
High school.
Thank you, David Tope, 9595, for your $10 super chat. We appreciate that. It was high school. What I remember from high school was the lack of projection and that high school teachers don't scream at them. We got screamed at in college theater for let them hear you in the back row. It was not acceptable. Go ahead, Josh.
You know, in the Nutcracker, there's a scene where they're at like the Sugar Land or Sweets Land, and they bring out and they do all the different presentations of different cultural dances. No one matched the culture. Everyone was white kids.
Oh, I see.
And then there's the part where they do the guy dances, and it's like the German or Russian dance where he's kicking out his legs. And the girls run around him while he's doing that. Every time he kicked out his leg, he tripped a girl.
Fantastic.
It was great.
What about when they bring out the blueberry pancakes and then everybody plays the Chinese checkers game?
What are you talking about?
And then you get the fried
about.
Chicken.
You lost me.
Oh, that's Cracker Barrel. I'm here all week. That's a lame ass joke for the week. There'll be many, many more.
I think we're tied because I made that stupid shingles joke.
There'll be many, many more. Oh, I just realized I have my curtains drawn open, pulled open.
How many people are watching?
Mike, with the new camera, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, it does. Watch.
Okay, here we go.
Okay.
And then Mike will do the dance of the Sugar Plum Fairy. So you stayed. There's an intermission, right?
Yes. And
did you think about leaving in the intermission?
Well, during the intermission, I went and got some drinks and came back, and we discussed leaving.
Okay.
Did you
have a gummy? Did you have a gummy before the show?
No, I totally. But that did come up. How did I come here without one?
Yeah, you really should. Oh, Mike, you look very hot.
Yeah, let it regulate.
Yeah, regulation.
Your face or the camera?
Oh, better. It's better now. You look nice.
It looks fine.
Thank you.
And that's with the shades drawn.
You know what it looks like?
What's that?
Exactly like when the shade was open.
I wasn't going to mention it, but yes.
God damn it! F you both. Anyway.
You know, the better camera, you might not need those giant heat lamps also.
Really?
Yeah, that's true.
Well, they wouldn't pick me up if I turned all the lights off in here.
Well, you have to have some light on.
Yeah, I imagine. But,
I'm so glad we have extra.
No.
Can I just try it for fun?
All right, just don't trip over a wire.
Let's stay connected. Okay, this is a lighting test. This is just like they used to do in Hollywood.
Yeah.
It's just like Mike's screen test. Yeah.
Well, what he could do is he could probably just turn on the overhead room light and be fine.
Well, that's I don't think you want overhead light because then it'll shadow him up a little bit.
You're still good.
Yeah. Fine as wine, Mike. And that's with the lights off?
Yeah. You know what?
One of them.
It looks better now
because
I can tell the color of your shirt and it's not just separating your head like your head's floating in the blackness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow. It's amazing. What if I shut the other one off?
Will your room be completely dark?
Pretty close.
That'd be good. That would be like Playboy After Dark. Yeah. It'd be sexy. Okay, here we go. He's changing his lights. I have, the lights in this room are controlled by Siri. So I could do it. I could change it all just by talking. I love color, that.
Change colors or just on and off?
No, just on and off. Well, we haven't gotten fancy yet.
So we ended up staying for the entire Nutcracker, but we left as soon as it ended before the standing ovation so we could get out of there before all the parents.
So did you stay for any of the curtain call or were you just out of there?
We
and you know
left.
The plot, so you knew what you were shooting for.
Oh, as soon as it ended, right before the curtain call, we ran out of there. Mm-hmm. That's with all the lights off? Mike, you're in the dark?
It's very dark in this room.
You look it as bright fine. As you did when we started.
That is some kind of camera right there.
Yeah.
I love it. And also, it has a lot to do. Mike has a radiance.
It's your natural glow.
Yeah, I got to keep that light on because it looks like, hello, hello.
No, actually, Mike, all three settings.
I'm sorry, I disconnected. What?
All three settings were great. None of them looked like a horror film.
So I can keep it like this?
You can. Mm-hmm. If you want to work in the dark.
It looks like it's bothering me. So there you go.
Right. And
you
know Mike,
you know
go
what's
ahead,
what's bothering him is he's in the dark, so he just has the glow of the screen.
Yeah,
so it's not
true.
How he looks. It's the fact that the screen is so bright.
And also, if he went to a darker presentation on his screen, like if you were to watch something on a darker screen, his light would go down. That happens to me.
Yeah.
If I change the settings on my computer, get a lot of light off the computer screen.
But it means probably just the overhead light on, and he'd be fine without those towers.
Yeah. So, Mike, since we're talking lights here, could we have 30 seconds to do something for the holiday season?
Yeah.
Okay. And actually, I think I can do this.
And then I want to know the toy that Josh was talking about.
Oh, that's right. Hey, Siri, turn off the lights.
The toy can wait till tomorrow if we need to.
Hey, Siri, turn off all the lights. I think it's going to happen here. Okay, good. Now it's darker. Do you have a timpani, Mike? It is the first day of Hanukkah.
Is that one light?
I thought yesterday was the first day.
That's not right. That's not right.
Yeah, that's what
it shouldn't be electronic. You should light it.
I will say it loses so much when it's not an actual candle.
You need to get. All right, here's the deal.
And why
tomorrow,
is the middle one lit?
I'll
you
buy
have
one
to,
at the.
You have
one
to
at
find
airport.
A cheap. You have to find. Oh, yes. You have to bring one home. And you have to light one.
Well, you know, this will actually. I'm sorry there's no open flame. Josh, can you play the closing music?
Dreidel, 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 I made it out of clay. And when it's dry and ready, then dreidel
Alan Goodman.
I will play.
Yes.
I don't know the rest of the words, but neither do you. You
yes.
know nothing about Hanukkah, so here we go again. Hey, dreidel, dreidel, dreidel.
All right, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, Alan. We appreciate it. All right, before we get the our next sponsor on here, share with us
the
hottest Christmas toy.
The hottest toy is a video game console that you've never heard of. It is outselling the Xbox, the PlayStation, the Nintendo, and it is called Next Playground.
NEX Playground?
NEX Playground. Here, I brought a video.
A video. Next Playground.
Well, I got to switch to our new mode.
Next system, okay. It's you moving.
So it's a little box with a camera that picks you up. It's
a little thing in front
of the TV.
That gets people moving and gets them to do it together. So that's what we did.
Are you ready? And this thing is
It's an all-new way to play. No
everywhere.
Extra sensors, headsets, or
wearables.
Oh, and
want it?
Just play like...
No.
It's like Wii without the controllers.
It's like the Wii without the controllers.
Here's the story.
You got to get used to the new layouts and
okay,
get them working
so, well. Okay, so he didn't hit you to it?
He doesn't know about it, no.
Michael doesn't.
No one's talking about it, but it is sold out everywhere. I tried to buy one because I've got college girls in town, and I was like, I want to do stuff with them and spend time with them, so this looks like a good family game.
Yeah.
Tried to get it. Found out it is sold out everywhere, and you can't.
And what's
find
it called again?
Next Playground. NEX.
Next Playground.
Have you looked for price gougers on eBay? That's always fun.
Oh, I'm sure.
Rob, turn your lights back
but
on.
But it is.
Oh, hey Siri, turn all the lights on.
Am I always John? Thank you for the $20 super chat. It said, I don't okay video games because I exercise and won't get out of breath going to the fridge for a Mountain Dew. Is that a dig at you? Is that a dig?
Probably.
I don't know what that is, but I think that's part of the attraction. Is as parents, we're always looking for things to keep our kids active and moving. Now,
yeah,
and I think this is a way to do that.
That's wonderful.
And
I like it.
It's $200. It's $200, and then what I like is you pay. I think it's $90 a year for the monthly subscription, but that gets you all the games, so you don't have to go and buy a $50 game every 2 weeks.
I think the most brilliant thing about this toy is that Asian gentleman who invented it, because now he's getting your money and $90 a month. So good for him.
And it's been out for probably 18 months because I saw it last year on like some tech sites and stuff, but now it's everywhere and every parent's looking for it.
It's very, very special. And I bet I hear about it even before Christmas. We have to take a short one here. And I want to remind everybody that do you have like a quickie video you can share with us at the end of the show?
100%. 100%.
Because I have to go big body.
Oh,
hey,
no.
Everybody, getting ready for the holidays is a hassle. Selecting great wine to make you merry and bright shouldn't be. Naked Wines is the sponsor of today's show, Graham, and they're pouring out a deal you can't ignore. They connect you directly to the world's best independent winemakers, so you get world-class wine delivered right to your door for up to 60% off store prices. No middlemen, no nonsense, just incredible wine. Use code TMOS at nakedwines.com for $100 off your first order. That's 6 bottles, $39.99. I drink it, I love it. Every bottle's better than the last. Naked Wines, because life's too short for bad wine.
Wine.
So let's all head to nakedwines.com/TMOS, click enter voucher, and put in TMOS for both the code and the password to get $100 off your first order. That's 6 bottles, only $39.99 with shipping included. $100 off your first 6 bottles at nakedwines.com/TMOS and use the code and password TMOS. 6 bottles of wine. $39.99. Take it away, Rob Spiewak.
Do we have a stager?
Don't worry about it.
Well, no,
don't worry about
one.
It. Come on
and
now.
I don't want to get in the way.
All right.
I'm on a plane today.
I like that.
There
some
we go.
Beautiful
you
video.
Got in the way.
Well, my bad. Mm-hmm. I'm on an airplane today.
Yes,
and I'm trying to think about, if should something go wrong, what if I would have to make an emergency exit from the plane? I just hope it doesn't go like this poor parachutist. in Australia.
As the first parachuter stepped out of the door to assume the most forward front float position, their reserve parachute inadvertently deployed, dragging the parachutist backwards and dislodging the camera
operator
into
free fall. Moving at plane speeds.
The parachutist's legs were injured as they struck and damaged the aircraft's horizontal stabilizer. Their canopy wrapped around the horizontal stabilizer and the elevator, suspending them beneath the aircraft.
Can the plane just kind of tilt
13
and
13 skydivers exited the aircraft, and two remained in the doorway, watching as the parachutist used a hook knife to cut sufficient reserve parachute lines to enable the parachute to tear free.
That's
the parachutist
horrifying.
Then deployed their main parachute, which tangled with the remnants of the reserve canopy. However, they were able to untangle the lines and regain sufficient control of the main parachute to
That's
land.
That's
got to
be an experienced jumper. That is so cool that they were able to do that, though. That the composure to dislodge that and I then know. Open the other chute, and then that malfunctioned, and he still had to do it. It's incredible. Wow.
They offer that parachute on United, but it's a $25 bonus to pay for that.
Is that who you're flying today, pal?
Yeah, they nickel and dime you to death, Mike.
You flying out of Lauderdale or Miami?
Lauderdale.
Okay, good for you.
It's a better airport.
Make sure don't take your knife away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have my hook knife. And let's close with this, Mike.
Yes.
There's nothing more festive than the dessert known as Baked Alaska.
Oh, yes. Yeah, bring it in. I'm surprised we didn't see that on the cruise ship.
I'm not.
Mike, but did you have a Boston brick?
I didn't. What's a Boston brick?
It was some weird, their version of an eclair.
Oh, really? Yeah. Oh, damn it. I wish I'd had that.
A Boston brick is an eclair made out of gray prime rib. Delicious.
Yum, yum.
So Baked Alaska essentially is ice cream of several flavors covered in meringue, and then the meringue is set on fire.
Right.
So you have heat and cold. Uh-huh. So they leave it to grandma at this birthday party to light the Baked Alaska on fire. And I question her technique. Let's close with this, John.
Okay.
Shall we sing happy birthday first?
There's grandma.
Well, you're burning.
Oh, you got to set the cake on fire. Okay, so pour the goo on it, Grandma.
We'll start singing as you light it.
Yeah. Okay, here we go.
Oh, no.
She's pouring the fuel. Okay, and it's on fire. That's good. But she keeps at it. And now the table's on fire.
Grandma, you moron.
Yeah, Grandma's never done this.
Listen to the family panic. There's forks flying.
Grandma got burned up by Baked Alaska. Look at the dad.
He's pissed. He's so pissed. But Mike, everyone survived and they had a few bites of cake.
That's
the
awesome.
Magic, beautiful video. And I'll see you from Leesburg tomorrow. Bye-bye.
All right. Yay. All right. Thank you all for joining us. Thank you for the super chats. Give them to us all week. Give. We'll see you next time. Have a great evening and another live show for you tomorrow right here on the Mike O'Mara Show. For Josh Sharok and Rob Spiewak, Mike O'Mara saying so long, everybody.
Nutcracker.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
So what do I want me to do, drop my pants and fire a rocket?
That's the kind of comedy we specialize in. Clean, unfunny humor.
Sabrina, don't just stare at it, eat it.